Oh, we're going to wrap up a series today, and I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be passing through several different verses. We're wrapping up this series where we understood that Jesus says, "I am," in John 14, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we tend to, honestly and understandably, focus in on why Jesus is the truth and the life. But we often tend to skip or somewhat bypass the understanding of the way. That his way is a result of his understanding of the truth. And that he lived a certain way that calls us to follow his example. And his example is a stark comparison to the world around us. That as we watch and as we participate through Scripture, we see that no matter what happened in the midst of Jesus' life as he was ministering in this time frame, that he was unrushed and he was fully present. But as we watch that, I believe that the reason he could be so is that no matter how life went, now no matter how crazy it was, no matter what the disciples were up to, no matter what the Roman government was doing, he could have peace in the midst of it, no matter what rumors were going, because Jesus constantly prioritized the presence of God in prayer. That prayer was a central aspect of his life. It empowered him to overcome the temptations that he faced. It empowered him in his faithfulness and obedience to God the Father. And if we want to live like Jesus lived, then we need to learn to pray like Jesus prayed. To encounter into that prayer life. And yet so many of us don't. And I think there's three very common reasons that we don't have that kind of prayer life at times, or we at least struggle to pray effectively or consistently. One of the reasons is that we lack focus. We talked about it last week, that most of us tend to not be where our feet are. In fact, we shared that 47% of the time our minds are elsewhere. And that does translate over into our prayer life. We start praying, "Dear Jesus," wait, did I put the laundry in? "Dear Jesus, we thank you for," oh wait, what was I having for lunch today? You know, "Dear Jesus," and we get so distracted with everything but what we're bringing before the Lord. Another reason is that for many of us, we lack confidence. We feel like, "Well, I really just don't know how to pray." Or maybe it comes down to we know some prayer warriors and we've been around those. I mean, they're throwing out verses and these and thys and all the different things, and they've got the language, they got the posture, and we're sitting there around them and going, "Wow." And in comparison to them, and they say, "Why don't you pray?" And we go, "God bless this meat," and we eat. In Jesus' name, amen. Some people lack focus. Some people lack confidence. Some people lack faith. That we're not sure that God will do what we're praying about, or more, it could be that we believe that God can do it, but it doesn't seem like he's going to do it for me. And so we wonder, does God really hear my prayer? And we struggle with it. Does he care because we tried and prayed and believed and we thought he was going to answer, and yet it doesn't work out the way that we lined it out before God? Because that's how we often do it. "God, will you do it this way?" And when he doesn't do it that way, we wonder, "Well, did he really answer my prayer?" And so we lose confidence and we lack faith, and we conclude, "Well, prayer might work for others, but not for me, at least this time." So as we seek to understand and maybe reevaluate what we understand prayer to be, I think it's also that we need to understand what prayer isn't. First of all, prayer is not a formal presentation or performance to win the favor of the Lord. You don't have to be dressed in something particular or kneel down by a certain particular thing of furniture or approach God with lots of fancy language to be heard by God. Prayer is not about giving God a wish list. God is not some kind of magic genie, the holy Santa of the world, that if you ask or if you rub him just right, that he and say the prayer just the right way, that all of a sudden you get to have him do exactly the way you want him to do. Prayer is also not a spiritual negotiation where you tell God what you won't do anymore if he will do something for you. That, you know, I'll never do this, God, if you'll just answer my prayer. It's also not a show to impress people. Jesus talked about this, about the people on the corner blaring to be heard. But when we look at the way that Jesus lived, in the way that he encountered and interacted with God, and as a result, how he interacted with others, what we do discover about the way that he prayed is that prayer isn't just an action that you do, but that prayer is a way that you live. Jesus prioritized the presence of God in and throughout his life through prayer. You read it again and again and again throughout scriptures that he would leave the crowd and go off alone to seek the Father in prayer. Jesus was constantly disconnecting from those around him so that he could fully connect to the Father, which enabled them when he was around people to fully connect in an unrushed, fully focused way. And it's fascinating to see exactly when and how Jesus prayed. It was constant, but it wasn't just one way. There's a long list, and just to name a few, he prayed at his baptism. He prayed in the morning before heading to Galilee, but yet he also prayed night before choosing his disciples. He prayed after healing people. He prayed for kids. He prayed for himself. He also prayed for his disciples. He prayed at night right before he was nailed to the cross, and he prayed while dying on the cross. There was never an occasion where he wasn't being fully engaged in prayer, because prayer wasn't something that he occasionally did. Prayer was a part of the way that Jesus lived. And I would imagine that what some would say, well, Pastor, you know, it's different than it was then. You know, I'd like to pray. I need to pray, but I really just don't have time. There's a lot going on. I mean, I've got soccer at this time, and I've got to get, you know, in line at Sorbonauts, because otherwise I'm parked out in the middle of the street, and that's just dangerous. And I've got to be productive, and I've got to get some things done. And yet, if we truly understand prayer for what it is, we need to understand that seeking the heart of God and inviting his power and his presence into our life to be in his strength to be with us is the most important thing that we can do. Because it's tough out there. You see, everywhere we go, We see division, and we see tension, and there's relational stress and financial pressure and temptations. And frankly, we need the presence of God just to make it through the day. And I don't know how we can do it without God's presence. We need to invite his power, His grace. And I don't need it just in a few moments, in minutes of short, before we're asking God to bless, you know, the fast food before us. I need it all the way through my life, each and every day. And so as a disciple of Christ, as a follower of Jesus, I want to be effective in the world. And so there are times when I need to recognize that I have to disconnect from everything that does not last in order to connect to the one who does. I have to disconnect from the temptations that to gratify myself in this life in order to connect with the one who brings glory to himself. Prayer isn't just a momentary action. It's so much more. When you look at the way that Jesus lived, prayer wasn't just something he did. It was the way that he interacted with God in each and every moment throughout the day. So that's why it's important when Jesus gives us instructions on prayer that we follow them. And in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read from the Message, he says, "Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God." Now, I hesitate, but I probably need to say that doesn't mean just when it's hunting season, that you get away into the mountains and hide. But this is a real thing. He says, just be there as simply and honestly as you can imagine. And here's what happens when we begin to do this consistently. When we start to get away and we start to understand who we are before God and going simply, it says, the focus will shift from you to God and you'll begin to sense his grace. That as we go before the Lord and we put away the distractions and we make daily prayer a priority and we block out the noise, we turn off the phone, we turn off the TV, and we spend time with God, that we disconnect from this world for a time so that we can fully connect to the Lord of hosts. Because intimacy is never accidental. You'll never accidentally become close in to God. There takes some intentionality because there's no relationship that grows intimate without intentional, focused time. So find a place that you can pray and find a way to be still. And you say, well, what do I pray about? I don't feel, you know, if he's not this genie and all these different things. What Philippians 4:6 says is, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. What do I pray about? Everything. We recognize God for who he is, that he is the author, the creator, and the perfecter of faith, that he has provided salvation for us, that he does so much more than we could ever imagine. But if it's on your mind, bring it before the Lord. Talk to him like he's a close friend, because he is. If you have questions, it's okay to ask him. If you're mad at him or hurting, tell him. I assure you that God can handle it. But pour out your heart to God. Talk to him intimately. It's not just an act. It's an honest love relationship. Bring everything to God. But what we do instead is we tend to struggle in a way that we tend to break our lives kind of like cafeteria trays where nothing touches. You know what I'm talking about? Those old big trays. And we say, well, this is my work life here, and here's my personal life over here, and I've got some relationship spot where the potatoes go, and, you know, and over here is my church life, and we think we can't let these different areas touch. But what I want you to understand is that God doesn't just want a part of you. God wants all of you. He wants to be involved in every part of your life. He promises you that he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. And since he's always with you, prayer then doesn't become just an action that you do for a brief period of time, but becomes an encounter. As we encounter God and we constantly are placing the things before him, it becomes a way that we live. That when you look at the way that Jesus lived, he practiced the constant priority and presence of prayer. That yes, he had some uninterrupted fellowship where he went away, but he was always praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 in the New Living Translation says, never stop praying. In the NIV it says, pray continually. In the King James Version it says, pray without ceasing. This instruction is reflective of a way that we need to follow Jesus' example. He had an ongoing awareness that God isn't just, because we're not in that one with our hands folded in a certain way, that God hasn't left us. He's always with us. And so you can talk to him wherever you are. In whatever situation, at any time, you don't have to break away and kneel and fold your hands, that you can talk to him while you're driving. I just advise you not to close your eyes. You can talk to him at work. You can talk to him when that person at work is getting on your nerves, or in your house is getting on your nerves. And you can ask God for grace as you deal with that person. You can talk to him about when you're about to lose your temper with your kids. You can talk to him when you're running late to church. You can talk to him when you forget something and when you can't find your keys, and you when you're worried about somebody, or you just need to talk to him because, you know, God, you're my friend, and because he is. Now, I'm not trying to devalue a holy God down to just a friend, but God is our best friend. He's always seeking our best interests. And prayer is, yes, getting alone with God, but it's so much more than that, because prayer is living in God's presence. Prayer is experiencing God's grace. Prayer is hearing his whisper throughout the day as he prompts you. It's enjoying his power. It's experiencing his peace. It isn't just getting God to do what we want, but prayer is more importantly aligning our will to his. It's delighting in the Lord as he changes the desires of my heart. When you pray, when you're constantly putting ourselves before the Lord and we're walking with God, when you're in the midst of the Spirit and you're aware of his presence, I want you to understand he will both convict you of your sin as well as comfort you in the middle of your trials. When you're walking in the spirit of prayer, you will sense direction in your life. You will notice him guiding you. You'll hear the promptings. You'll understand that what you're called to do, because your heart starts to gain an understanding of his heart, and you begin to hurt over what breaks his heart. You start hearing and rejoicing over what brings him joy as well. It's not just an action that you do, it's a way that you live. And so we take time and we pray. And Max Lucado talks about giving God four different kinds of thoughts throughout the day. First of all, he says, give God your waking thoughts. When you wake up, you say, good morning, God. Not, good God, it's morning. This day, God, is your day. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to rejoice, and God, I ask you to direct my steps today. Help me see the needs before me. Help me speak words of encouragement. Convict me of anything that I may be out of a line on, but God, I'm devoting my whole day to you. But we also give God our waiting thoughts. Maybe you're praying for the salvation of a loved one. You know this request lays heavily on your heart. You're praying for a miracle in someone's life. You're praying for provision. You're praying for a breakthrough in some situation. Whatever it is you're waiting on, you take it to the Lord and you spend time with Him and saying, God, I lay this before you, not my will, but yours. Then throughout the day, you realize you give Him your whispering thoughts. Because there are times when you'd like God to help you deal with a situation, maybe it's a difficult one, and you just whisper to God, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me the words to say right now, God? Would you help me not to say what I really want to say? Help me, God, in this. Would you help me connect maybe with my 16-year-old that I'm struggling with? God, would you help me welcome and love my spouse when really I just don't want to? God, would you help me be a voice of encouragement to someone that I love? And so you whisper your thoughts throughout the day, understanding that God is worthy. And then at the end of the day, you give Him your waning thoughts. You look back and you say, God, here's where I saw you today. Here's where I felt your presence. Here's where I experienced you. And here's what I'm thankful for today. And here's what I'm incredibly thankful for as we move into the next. And whatever burden you may have before you go to bed, you say, God, it's yours. And I rest and I trust you. Because prayer isn't just something that we do. Prayer is a way that we live. So that we can understand that God is always with us. He's always loving us. He doesn't leave us. So we don't stop praying because, you know, well, that time frame's over. No, we're always before the Lord. And we keep praying. We keep the conversation going. Paul instructs us, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So don't stop praying. Recognize that prayer isn't just something that you do, but it's a way that you live. And suddenly, as you consider consistently offer yourself and offer your ways and offer your thoughts and offer your heart and your worries and your anxiousnesses, that even though God says don't worry about these things, we place our trust in Him, and we suddenly we're walking in the midst of the presence of God, encountering Him throughout the day, aware that He's convicting me at times, aware that He's comforting me at times, and we're not just believing that the truth that Jesus taught, but more importantly, we're being transformed to live the way that He lived, which honors God and makes a constant difference in the world. If our ushers will please come forward this morning, and the band as well, we understand that Jesus was participating with His disciples before He left to set an example for us in the way that He lived. And we're reminded that in the same night that our Lord was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Now today the cups are once again double stacked. Everyone has both the bread and the juice in each one, so you just pick up one. If you need a gluten-free, those options are in the middle of the tray. And we ask that everybody would hold on to it so that we can participate together in this holy sacrament.